My country is of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing.
The America First Committee, whose slogan, Defend America First, symbolizes your national safety, is an organization with no political affiliation, but dedicated to you and those dear to you, to your first and everlasting interest, a sane and sound defense for America.
Let
Abraham Lincoln once called America this last best hope on earth. We know today better than ever before that our land is truly the last best hope on earth. The heritage your father's father and mine fought to give us, we must now be prepared to save. But let's be practical. Let's do the sensible thing. Let's defend America first this time. If you, Mr. and Mrs. American, are for building an impregnable defense for America, if you want to preserve American democracy, if you're against any kind of intervention in someone else's war, in short, if you want to go on day after day living in a safe America, in a sane and sound America, with every shred of its industry and economical forces preserved, listen carefully later on in our program for an important message. But now the America First Committee presents a man whom thousands of you know and thousands of others will be happy to meet, Congressman James E. Van Zandt of Pennsylvania. Congressman Van Zandt was formerly National Commander of the Veterans of Foreign Wars. It was Congressman Van Zandt who worked tirelessly in behalf of the veterans of our first great world war. Congressman Van Zandt takes you today to the Veterans Hospital at Mount Alto in Washington, D.C., there to draw his picture of the futility of war. Ladies and gentlemen, Congressman James E. Van Zandt.
Ladies and gentlemen, on the lips of every American is the burning question, is America going to war? Daily as events transpire abroad, the problem of America keeping out of Europe's war becomes more acute. People of all faiths have turned to prayer as a means of achieving a peace in this war-crazed world, while in the same breath, the wheels of industry hum in turning out weapons of national defense. One of the mightiest weapons of any war is propaganda, whose unholy mission is death and destruction. Today, the American people are face to face with the greatest propaganda machine the world has ever known. Playing on the sympathies of the American people, propaganda is step by step leading this nation into another of Europe's century-old wars. Today, the United States is traveling a road parallel to the one we took in 1917, but at a much greater speed. Not content as a natural and neutral nation should be, with a seat on the sidelines, we took first step last fall when Congress repealed the embargo on the sale of arms to belligerent nations. This step was quickly followed by the heavy sale of airplanes and the release of arms and ammunition by our own Army, Navy, and Marine Corps. Having taken these steps, the agents of propaganda assured us were fully justified. We did not stop, but continued our journey down the pathway that leads to war. American dollars were loaned to the United States factories to build airplanes for the Allies. United States aviators were encouraged to enlist in the British Air Force while we exchanged destroyers for air bases in British possessions. We are told that these steps are necessary as the premium for world peace. Contrary to what the average American believes, there remains but two more steps to actual involvement of America in the present European war. Already we have been asked to take one of these last two fatal steps when a request was made that we send a military mission to Europe. When that day arrives, we can prepare for the final step, the sending of the second American Expeditionary Force to Europe. Ladies and gentlemen, let us pause and reflect deeply before we engage in another European war that is certain to destroy our present form of government. Let us realize the great cost of the First World War that was paid in blood and tears, of the row upon row of silent crosses in Flanders fields that marked the final resting place for thousands of the youth of 19 and 17 and 18. There is a group in the United States today for whom the armistice of 19 and 17 and 18 meant little. At this moment, I'm among that group in the United States Veterans Hospital at Mount Alto in the city of Washington, D.C., in the shadow of the nation's capital. Mount Alto is one of the 86 Veterans Administration hospitals scattered throughout the United States and erected by a grateful government to care for those who responded in 19 and 17 and 18, as we were told, to save the world for democracy. Truly, these veterans' hospitals are living shrines to which every American may make a pilgrimage. Here you will find the appalling cost of war, not in dollars and cents alone, but in shattered bodies, suffocated lungs, and shadowed minds. These men understand war and its devastating effect on mankind. For a moment, let us visit with these heroes of Belleau Wood, Chateau Thierry, and the Aragon, as they occupy row after row of hospital beds or recline in wheelchairs, armless or legless, or to whom the sight of bird sunshine and the stars are but a sweet memory. Here to my right is a veteran in the bathrobe. Comrade, what is your name?
Robert H. Harrison.
How old are you?
48.
Where is your hometown?
Brunton, Ohio.
Now, what outfit did you serve with during the World War?
Flying Corps.
In your own words, comrade, what do you think of the United States entering another European war?
We don't want to go over there, but they come here, we're all ready to fight.
Thank you, comrade, for your frank opinion. That expression, ladies and gentlemen, is from the lips of a real World War veteran. Now let us visit this veteran in the wheelchair. Comrade, what is your name?
Bradford.
What outfit did you serve in?
1st Division.
How long did you serve?
28 months overseas.
Where's your hometown?
New York.
Now, what is your opinion about America engaging in another European war?
Well, I'm in favor of preparedness, but no entanglements in any way to get this country in another war.
In other words, you believe that we should keep out of it?
Absolutely.
Thank you, comrade. Ladies and gentlemen, here is the veteran in the corner. Let's have his opinion about America going into war. Comrade, how old were you when you enlisted?
17.
What is your name?
B.G. Hyman.
Where do you come from?
South Carolina.
And what outfit did you serve with during the World War?
30th Division.
30th Division. Oh, let's have your opinion now about America entering this European brawl.
I think we should stay out of it.
In other words, we should not participate at all.
No, sir.
Build up a national defense second to none.
Second to none.
Thank you, comrade. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here is a veteran whose hair has turned to silver. Comrade, where are you from?
Donovan, Missouri.
What is your name?
James L. Sanders.
Now, did you serve in the Army, Navy, or Marine?
In the Army.
You have plenty of overseas service.
9 months overseas.
Now, in your own few words, and just as frank as possible, tell us what you think about America keeping out of this European war.
Well, I'm in favor of giving all the material aid to the democracies as possible. But with England owning almost two-thirds of the world, I don't see, and she hasn't really tapped her manpower, resources of her provinces, I don't see where it's necessary to send manpower to England.
In other words, you're in favor of America staying home and minding your own business.
That's right.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you've just heard from the lips of a real World War veteran. Now we have another veteran here. I'm going to ask this veteran, what is your name?
William A. Brunner.
And what branch of the service were you in?
Infantry.
Let me see, you served in what division?
The YD, the 26th Division.
Had plenty of service, didn't you?
2 years in France.
Fine. And what do you think about America going into this war?
Congressman, I said goodbye to my Billy, my youngster, about a week ago to come down here. He has the war fever as we did when we were kids. I feel that if we were invaded, I'd like to see him enlist, defend our country. I'd do it with him if I were able to, but never to leave here.
In other words, you're opposed to America going into this war. Thank you, Donovan. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard from the lips of those who actually fought America's wars what they think of this nation again becoming involved in another futile world war. More than 130,000 young men lost their lives during the World War period. And today, they are dying at the rate of 91 every 24 hours. Surely the plea of these boys of 17 and 18 will not fall on deaf ears. Let us make certain the young men of 1940 will not occupy these same rows of hospital beds as a result of America's entry into the present European conflict. Ladies and gentlemen, Our form of government is at stake. The American way of life is in peril. In short, let us preserve our cherished possessions of life, liberty and happiness that our forefathers fought to give us by insisting that we build a two-fisted defense for America. Then no nation on earth will dare to attack us. Let us think of America first this time. We must save what Lincoln called this last best hope on earth.
Thank you, Congressman Van Zandt, for your inspiring message and our visit to Mount Alto Hospital in Washington, D.C. Folks, I am sure you will agree that it's just good common sense to defend America first. That's the American way. That's why we are what we are and where we are today. It has been truly said that a man's home is his castle. Defending that castle is your first, your most important job in life. Let's build with full speed ahead a strong and impregnable American defense. But let's go about our job clearly and rationally. Let's be sensible about it. We can't build that defense by giving away our destroyers to help other nations. We must build and keep our flying fortresses for ourselves. We, as Americans, must see to it that our armaments are kept for our own defense first. Shall we defend or interfere? I am sure you will agree with Congressman Van Zandt, with the hundreds of thousands of other clear-thinking conservative Americans, that we must defend America first.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing, land where my father...
The America First Committee invites you to write for your membership card. If you want to help stop this drift toward war, you can do two things. First, write your congressman, your senator. Let them know how you stand. Second, you can help us carry this message of Defend America First to more millions by sending money to the America First Committee, Board of Trade Building, Chicago, Illinois. All contributions, dimes or dollars, are needed and will help. Let me repeat the address. America First Committee, Board of Trade Building, Chicago, Illinois. Don't wait. Write us. Write your congressman. And if you can, send money to help this patriotic cause along. But do it now.
Let freedom ring.
If you want to help defend America first, send your contribution. Anything from dimes to dollars will help. Send to America First Committee, Board of Trade Building, Chicago, Illinois. Let me repeat that address. The America First Committee, Board of Trade Building, Chicago, Illinois. Remember, seconds count. Do it today.
My country.